Hello and welcome to another episode of Beautiful Chaos. I'm Erin Clark and I am so thankful that you've chosen to spend this time with me today as we dive in on how we can cultivate a friendship with our children. Not just a friendship that's 20, 40 years from now, but a friendship that can start today. Let's get started. So I've always been firm that I want to be friends with my girls, that I want to cultivate this in our relationship. I know, like, as I think ahead to 20 years from now, 15 years from now, I think, like, those are the people that I want around my table. Those are the people I want to laugh with, that I want to cry with, that I want to do the big things in life with. My husband, my kids, and then friendships beyond that. And so what I do is I think ahead to what do I want, and then I backtrack from there. Well, how do I expect to be friends with my kids when they're in their 20s if I'm not cultivating that in our world when they're 5 or 10? Take a minute right now and just think, what do you want your table to look like 20 years from now? Whose faces do you want to see? Because once we have the relationships come to the surface that are most important to us, we can then backtrack and we can go, okay, now I know how to prioritize these relationships. This is how I can be intentional. Life is busy. I only have so many hours in my day. And so I have to be very intentional with who am I pouring into? What relationships do I want to make sure that I am consistent with most? And then the others can come from there. So take a minute and think on that in your world. So often when I talk about being friends with our girls, this is when people's backs get up and they get pretty defensive pretty fast. And like, no, you can't be friends with your girls. You have to be their parent. And I'm like, yeah, I can actually do both. I can be my kid's child and my kid's parent. And the way that I know this is through Jesus. When I look to Jesus, I see how he cultivated this relationship with his disciples. He not only instructed and corrected, but he also journeyed. He invested in his disciples' lives. You see, he built trust and deep friendships with his disciples, and then he could have those hard conversations with them as well. Jesus is my example when I think about how to disciple my girls in the way of the Lord. So today we're going to look into the life of Jesus and see how he cultivated a deep relationship with his disciples, and then take from that, okay, as Jesus is our example, how can we cultivate a deep friendship with our children? So the number one thing that we see with Jesus and his disciples is he spent time with them. Jesus spent 3 years with his disciples, traveling with them, teaching together. By being in these close quarters with them, spending this quality time together, like, I just picture them. I don't know if you've seen The Chosen, but I just loved The Chosen. It just brought the Bible just alive to me in such a beautiful way, where I just see Jesus, like, just walking with his disciples. They would have walked everywhere together. And I just imagine all of those conversations of connection that they had just by that close proximity with each other. This allowed for deep friendship to just develop. And so in that way, we need to be spending quality time with our kids. Now, I don't doubt that time is being spent in our daily chaos of parenting. But are we taking time to engage in meaningful ways with our kids each day? Are we taking time to, like, do activities that our child enjoys? I'm not talking about adding to your to-do list. I'm talking about the things that you already do. How can you elevate that for something of quality that every day when your child goes to sleep, they'll be like, wow, I got to do that with my mom today. That was cool. Recently, my girls became enthralled in a book series, like, a bit obsessive. I couldn't keep them out of the books. They're talking about it. And what started with just my youngest daughter, actually, believe it or not, she started this series. It just became this obsession with all three of my girls. They were racing. There's 10 books in these series that are so thick. We do them on Kindle, so it kind of tricks their minds a little bit. But they were obsessed. So it was clear that this series was important to them. Like, they love the characters. Are you Team Keith, Team Fitz? If you know the series, then you know what I'm talking about. It was so captivating that I was like, I gotta see what these girls are into. I want to invest in the things that they love. And so I started reading the books. A lot slower than them, but I started reading them. And you see, then we started to be able to have conversations about the books. We start building this connection with each other through a book series. And because we had these little conversations, you see, we now are having conversations about books. Who's our favorite characters? What's our favorite part? Where are you at? And every time we have these little conversations, what I see is that they lead to bigger conversations. When we take the time to listen to our kids in the little things or the seemingly unimportant things like Minecraft or Rubik's Cubes, they're going to start coming to you for those big things because they're going to know that they can count on you to be a trusted and wise friend. Don't underestimate the power of laughing together. Play games, be goofy. On those bigger adventures, take a road trip together. Watch movies together, Saturday morning breakfasts. Just elevate the everyday together to build core memories of connection. You might have had a busy day, crazy after dinner, pull out a board game that you know has a quick beginning and a quick finish. Have that time of connection. Number two, he shared meals with them. Sharing meals in that culture in Jesus' time was a sign of friendship. They frequently shared meals in the Bible that we see. And then, of course, there'd be many, many times that weren't documented. Many cultures today, this is still a sign of friendship. But unfortunately, North America, we've made ourselves pretty busy that we're not only not having meals with other people, but we're not having meals together as families. And I'll go through these statistics really fast, but research has proven time and time again that eating meals as a family has so many benefits. They have improved mental health. A study by the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University found that teens who eat dinner with their families are five or more times a week are less likely to abuse drugs and alcohol and are less likely to have symptoms of depression. They have better academic performance. According to a study by the University of Illinois, children who regularly eat dinner with their families have higher grades and test scores and are more likely to do well in school. They have increased family communication. Family dinners provide irregular opportunities for families to talk and connect with each other. This improves the overall family communication and strengthens relationships. Another important factor in this research is improved nutrition. When families eat together, they're more likely to eat balanced, nutritious meals, which also helps with mental health. And then a study by the University of Cambridge found that eating together as a family can reduce stress and promote feelings of happiness and well-being. I've become obsessed with figuring out, like, what does belonging mean? I'm writing a book right now, and one of the chapters that I'm working on is belonging. And when I read this study that's like, eating together can reduce stress and promote feelings of happiness and well-being, I just want to add in, and belonging makes them feel like they're a part of something. Like, we can't deny the research or the example of Jesus in this. And yet we still have such a hard time making this a priority. Not because we're not well-meaning families, but because life is chaos. But where can we find the beauty in the chaos? Take some time today, even pause this and just think about how can you reorg your calendar to prioritize mealtimes? Don't just make it a check on the to-do list. Think of it as an investment in your family's future, in their health, in their mental health, in just protecting their future. Figure out how to make this a meaningful time. Put on some music. I love having like slow background music, especially when the kids are young and life's chaotic. When you can put on some kind of music, worship music, spa music, whatever it might be, it just changes the mood. Light some candles on the tables. That just, it's an example. It's something that switches our brains to go, oh, this is the time when we come together. Make it a no phone zone, like a non-negotiable no phone zone. We're not talking like hours of our life. It can be done, but we need to figure out how we can reorg this. Now, you might be sitting there and you may be like, you don't know. Like our family could sit and do dinner, but it's not helping our communication. We're not communicating better just because we're sitting together. There's great conversation starter cards. Get some. Don't be embarrassed by it. It is going to feel foreign at first. Totally might be, but it'll grow. Talking Points Family Edition is a great pack to do that. It will get easier on you. This week in my Instagram, you can come on and it'll give you ideas of how you can prioritize these different areas. Like your kids might push back, but I guarantee even if they don't show it, I am telling you, they feel seen when we initiate conversation around the dinner table. And isn't that what we all want? Along with the sense of belonging, I think about being seen a lot. And I just think like, I'm often wondering like, when people are around me, do they feel seen? Like, that's my goal in life. I just want people to feel seen by somebody. And more than the stranger on the street, I want my kids to know that I see you. I hear you. Like, I love you. I got you. And mealtimes are a great place for that. Number three, Jesus supported and encouraged his disciples. I cannot stress this next one enough. Even as an adult, I want my parents to be my biggest cheerleaders. We look for that. Even if you didn't have good family support, that's what you yearn for. You yearn for somebody to come alongside and be your cheerleader. And sometimes, like you may have kids that come in and out of your house that are not your own, but you know they need an adult to be that for them. But be that for our kids. What I know to be true is kids are bombarded with negative thoughts. Every day, the world is telling them they're not enough. They're filled with thoughts of what they can't do, who they aren't, how they just don't measure up. They're asking the questions of, am I pretty enough, smart enough, am I outgoing enough? Just fill in the blank. That's what they're asking. And we need to be that voice in their heads that are encouraging them, that are being their biggest cheerleaders. Our kids need us to show up and love and encourage them through words of affirmation. I think of the 5 love languages, the acts of service, quality time, physical touch. Some of these might be easier for you than others, but I believe that they all have equal value for our kids. Like they're yearning for that connection with us. Hug your kids. Do you hug your kids every day? Like as they get older, it almost starts feeling like, do they need this? We have this thing in our house. If I'm wearing a big cardigan, I'll take my kids in the cardigan and I'll just be like, come into the cocoon. And then I hug them for a while and then I'll open it up and be like, fly away, butterfly, fly away. It's totally lame, totally cheesy. My kids love it. Like they'll come in like kind of like, oh my gosh, are we still doing this? But I know that they just love it. Like what about like, are your kids on social media? Are they on their phone? Text them encouragement throughout the day. Fold their laundry for them when you know that they're just like, I know it's your job to do this, but you got a lot going on right now. I'm going to do this for you. Every day, we need to be telling our kids that we not only love them, but we like them. Like, highlight something positive about them or their character that they saw that day. I am against the notion that we shouldn't, like, that we shouldn't be telling our kids that they're beautiful and we should focus on smart or we should focus. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Why can't we? Why can't we say that all? Like, if their parents can't tell their children that they think they're beautiful, what if they never hear that from anybody else? We need to be their biggest cheerleader, whether it's about character, their looks, their smarts, even if they're not that smart. That's not your job to tell them. Your job is to build them up and encourage them and help them to come into who they actually are. Number four, he showed compassion. We all know, like, as we read through the Gospels, Jesus was known for his compassion. He often, like, demonstrated his care not just to the people around him, but to his disciples. He healed illnesses for their friends. He forgave their sins. Like, what a greater gift. There's no greater gift than he literally forgave their sins. How are we living out compassion? How are we intentionally showing compassion and care to our children? Are we quick to ask for forgiveness when we've wronged them? That's a hard one. Because sometimes as a parent, there's such a fine line too between, well, I do need to teach them. They need to go. And it's like, yeah, but we can be firm, but also kind. So was I kind in the way I said that? Or did I belittle them when I said that? So I don't need to apologize for coming and talking to you about something. But, you know, I just want to apologize for the way I said that. My tone was probably off. I was annoyed. I'm sorry. Like, are we asking for forgiveness? Another way to live out compassion is to teach our kids to serve others, especially those in need. Participate in outreach activities together. I've seen nothing more powerful and bonding my girls and I together than working alongside just serving people. Whether it's in our church or the community, our girls and I have spent time in a school in Uganda, and that time together has been impactful in our connection and our friendship. Now, it doesn't have to be something extravagant like going to Uganda. Where can you serve side by side in your neighborhood or your local church? I know our church has so many opportunities to serve. Are we doing that? Are we reaching out and actually bringing the kids in and being a part of that? I grew up serving Sunday night dinners at our church with our family. So after we would serve every week, it was roast beef and peas and mashed potatoes and stuff. And we would serve it. And it was for just the church community at large. And then following, we would do hours of dishes with all of my parents and their friends, and I'm sure there was other kids, but it felt like it was just, we were the only kids always. But it was fun. Like, there was laughter. I saw adults joking together and having fun together and serving. And 30 years later, those moments of connections with my parents still stand out of in my mind as impactful. I don't look back at that time as like, I can't believe my parents dragged me to the church to serve a meal and clean up. It was like, those were great times. I saw my parents so joyful, and I got to be a part of that. Number five, he revealed himself fully to them. Jesus trusted his disciples enough to reveal his true identity to them. He didn't do that for everyone. We need to be authentic and encourage open communication. We need to create a safe, supportive environment where our children feel comfortable sharing their thoughts and feelings. And this can only come through example. Our kids need to see us being authentic so they can feel comfortable being themselves too. We need to initiate conversations, share age-appropriate stories of our childhood. You know, that time you tell them, like, when you're having these conversations, we call them like hot tub. You don't need a hot tub for it. Wherever you're at, just if you're out for dinner, those dinner time conversations. That time I cheated on the test and felt shame, or this is how I overcame that, or this is when my parents showed grace to me. Kids love hearing funny stories of when you got hurt, or when you didn't do something perfectly or felt insecure. Our teens tend to look at parents, this is what I've noticed, is they look at parents in a state of arrival. They see us in a tidy box, but they don't understand that we have, either we're currently or we felt insecurity. We've all struggled with shame or our identity in Christ. Our kids need to see these weaknesses in us. They need to hear about where we've come from, not just where we've arrived. They need to see the struggle so that they can understand the triumph. The first time I went to Uganda with our girls, it was just the girls and I, and I forgot our yellow fever cards. And you need these to get into the country. We were just about to get on the plane and there was two other ladies traveling with us. And the one lady said, "So, do you got your yellow fever cards?" And I didn't. And I had no way of getting them. I didn't even know where they were. And I got on that first plane and I just started crying because I didn't know what to do. And I was like, am I going to travel alone with my three young kids and then be turned away? And I just sat on the plane and I just cried and I cried and I felt like a failure. I felt like, oh my gosh, we've gone through all this planning. We've got all these immunizations and I've let us down. And as I cried in my seat, Sienna, who was sitting in the row behind me, wrote a song. Later, she shared it with me and I cried again, of course. It was all about how she always saw me as being perfect, as someone who was in control and had it all together. She wasn't used to seeing me make mistakes, and it made her feel less alone, knowing that I also struggled to live out the fruit of the Spirit. That makes me emotional still to this day, because it was in that weakness that my daughter saw strength. See, in that moment, I realized the importance of being vulnerable with my girls, trusting them enough to reveal my own identity to them. Trust your kids with your life stories. Age-appropriate life stories, of course, but trust them with those. And in the flip side, take the time to listen to their stories. No matter how many rabbit trails they go on. And I know, because I speak from experience, that I am a person who tells stories with a million like webs. And my parents sat and listened to their stories. Because through trusted conversations, I've seen character and heart in my kids that I wouldn't have otherwise seen. And they've learned from my stories. And together we grow each time we have these, both in trust of one another, but also in understanding. We get each other. We have this shared bond with one another. So as I said at the beginning, like, I know that this is a hot topic. Should parents be friends with their kids? I truly, truly believe that just like grace and truth can coexist, just like firm and kind can coexist, so can authority and friendship with our kids. We cannot expect our kids to want to be in our presence, 20 years from now if we're not cultivating a home that values connection and friendships? So if this is a value that you want for your family, be intentional in the everyday moments. Elevate the relationships with our kids and teens. We need to be thinking, how is my tone when I discipline? Are we having enough fun together? Are we prioritizing meals? Do I encourage my kids? Take time today and ask God to reveal to you what area that you can work on in your own heart to building a lasting friendship with your children. It's never too late to start. Like, don't be like, oh, my kids are already teenagers. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's going to take effort. It's going to take time. It's going to take you maybe feeling silly at times because it's a new way. But if this is something that you find important and that you want, it is worth fighting for. It is worth working on. And I can't help but think, I think it's from Casablanca. I don't know. But that quote, it's, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. That's what I want. That's what I want for you and your kids. I've spent much time trying to cultivate this friendship. My kids are now 16, 14, and 12. And there are no other people other than my husband, of course, he's included in this, that I want to spend time with. Like, that I genuinely have fun together. If I was to choose a night and they said, choose the people that you're going to have the most fun with or go on this adventure with, I would choose them every time. But it's not because we're coasting. It's because we're intentional in that. We're choosing each other day after day. And so if your kids are teens, I'll leave you with this. If your kids are teens, and you're finding it hard, you're going to have to shake it up. Like, teens have a lot vying for their attention. They're going to want to be with their friends. Make sure that you are elevating the fun. Like, when they're teenagers, you're not just elevating them every day. You have to, like, make it pop and make them want to hang with you. Think outside the box and do stuff that you know that they'll enjoy. So with that, just be encouraged today. Again, all of this, when we talk about beautiful chaos, it's not about adding to our to-do list. Life is busy enough. We need quick little easy things to do. And that's my hope, that this is giving you that. But it's finding beauty in the chaos, in the little things, in the big things. And overall, just finding the things that we find important so that we know the areas to be intentional with. Okay, the fun has just begun. If you want some practical ways on how you can nurture a lifelong friendship with your child, then head over to Instagram and join me at Erin E. Clark, where every day this week, we are going to tackle one of these areas and just give practical tips on how you can spend quality time together, share meals together where it's not completely awkward, be your child's biggest cheerleader, live out compassion, and foster authentic communication in your home. Have a fabulous day. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to seeing you over on Insta.